Clubhouse.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for being here.
Lucky me, I won everything that I bid on at the silent auction.
You overbid. You always do at these charity things. It's because you're one of the good guys. Charles, can we compromise on the whole marriage thing?
Compromise how?
I think I was wrong to say never. It's how I feel now, but who knows? In time, maybe I change my mind. Or maybe you do. But let's give ourselves that time. And if we each bend a little...
Liza, I've had to bend a lot to be with you ever since we met. You never asked me to, but I walked away from my company for you. And I had to bend on the custody agreement, time with my girls, because Pauline was so upset about your lie. So if I bend anymore, I'm gonna break.
Welcome to the Hell or Good podcast for younger. I'm Sheila McGann.
And I'm Emma Good.
Tonight we're discussing season 7, episode 2 of Younger. This episode is called It's the End of the World, Worm Girl.
This episode was written by Don Roos and directed by Andrew Fleming.
So Don Roos is actually, he gets a lot of producer creds on this show. So he's got a long history with this show as well. And Andrew Fleming directed the previous episode. So before we get started, we also have a Spotify playlist that we've created. It's called the Hell or Good Younger Playlist by Pod Clubhouse. And it's got music from the show, from the current episodes, as well as going back in time to bring you some of the music from the show from the previous seasons as well. So definitely check that out. And it's a way for you to keep the mood music with you while you're waiting in between episodes to come out. It felt like a lot happened, but not a lot happened.
Yeah, I feel the same. Like, there seemed to be a lot happening, but I mean, the bulk of the episode was really about Charles and Liza.
Before we talk about Charles and Liza, because there was so much, I'm just going to like talk about the fact that Josh and Diana were just not in this episode at all. Neither one of them.
I'm still like missing Diana. I mean, how long is this honeymoon going to go for?
I mean, they are on a grand tour of Italy.
Yes, I know.
I did find an article just today on TVLine.com, and I found out that Diana and Zane have been dropped down to be considered recurring characters as opposed to series regulars. And apparently it's due to scheduling and COVID-related matters. That's what the quote was, due to scheduling and COVID-related matters.
So we're going to see less of Diana. That is a shame.
That is a shame. But it's not that they're not coming back, they're just recurring characters.
As long as we see Diana in this season, that's the main thing, because I just miss her at this point.
And we will relish whatever time we do get with Ms. Trout.
Definitely. So we start the episode with Liza wondering how she went from being proposed to, and now she's suddenly dumped by Charles. And she's sitting there with Maggie in the morning having their coffee, and she's really wanting Maggie to hate on Charles. What do you reckon?
Maggie's so smart not to fall into this trap, because how often has this happened to you, Emma, where, you know, your friend, guy, girl, whomever it is, breaks up with their significant other, they're upset, they're wallowing in their own misery, and they just want you to be like validating their feelings and be like, yeah, you know, he was so bad for you, and this is the best thing that ever happened to you, you're going to move on from this. And then like 4 days later, they're back together and be like, you know all those horrible things you said about him? Well, you know what, he's back and he knows about everything that you said.
Yeah, I fell into that trap. I've fallen into that trap, you know, back in our 20s, even like at high school and stuff like that, everyone has done that at some point and regretted it.
And then it's even more awkward if they end up going on to be married to that person and you have to deal with them forever.
I'm lucky I've never had it where they've ended up with the person married, so I think I learned my lesson. But yes, it's awkward.
You're doing something to bolster your friend, and then all of a sudden, like, what you said is now no longer in confidence because they've now told said significant other.
This is what they really think about you.
Right. And then also maybe as a way for them to, atone for the pain that was caused. Like, it's easy to blame somebody else and be like, you know, they said this about you. So yeah, I've fallen victim to that too. A friend of mine was in a very long-term relationship. They broke up and I was talking to him about her. And it's just like, you know, she's toxic for you. She's not good for you. And like literally 4 days later, they was just like, they were back together. And I was like, did you tell her everything that I said? He goes, oh yeah, I told her everything that you said. I was like, why would you do that? And now I have to hang out with her and you. And now she knows what I really thought about her and how toxic she is for you.
I think this shows that Maggie is like the most mature person on this show sometimes.
She's not even entertaining it. You know, you do feel bad for Liza because she's like, I had it all and now I don't.
Well, it just happens so quickly. Like I said, you know, one moment she's being proposed to and the next she's single and
being walked away from at the carousel.
I know. And I don't think she really saw that coming at all. Like, I don't think she understood how important marriage was going to be to him. But then they hadn't seemed to have ever discussed it in advance either. So maybe that discussion should have happened before they started proposing. And it's a bit of a whirlwind.
It is a conversation you do need to have if you're getting serious with somebody. Be like, you know, what are your thoughts on marriage? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on having children, having a family, or having stepchildren at this point in their lives? Exactly. You know, there's conversations that need to happen. Yeah. And you're not so, you know, sorry to say, but when you're in your 40s, you have to have a little bit more wherewithal about you. Because like Liza, when she, you know, at the end of season 6, and she says, you know, there's children to talk to. And, oh no, sorry, that was the beginning of season 7. There's children to talk to. You know, they have considerations for other people's feelings here that they have to take into consideration. You can't just be like, yes, whisk me away and let's get married now. You know, that whirlwind is gone. Yeah.
You could do that in your 20s, but like in your 40s, there's always other people involved.
Yeah, it's more complicated.
The other big thing that happened in the episode around Charles and Liza is that Lauren thought some flowers delivered to the office meant that she said yes. And then there was the big production in the meeting where she had assumed that they were engaged, which led to quite an awkward and public fight.
Even if the answer was yes, and this was like going to be a happy moment, that is still very like awkward, inspiring for all the other people in the room, I have to say. Like, even if the answer was yes, that would have been very, still be like, okay, what are we supposed to do now?
And also not something that like was really Charles's style, and I'm not even sure it was really Liza's style, but I feel like
that was Lauren's style.
But yeah, it was definitely Lauren's style. And you know, you do sort of love that about Lauren, how she just throws herself into things, but in this situation it was not great.
Yeah, she didn't think through sort of the impact that would have. And like you said, like, it's not their style. It's either one of their style. You can't really fault her because it was just so genuine and she was coming from such a good place. And she just was like, you know, all will be revealed. And she was just so excited to do it all. That cake was exquisite. It was sparkling.
And you're right. She was doing it from a good place. She was excited for them. She thought it would be really amazing. You know, she doesn't ever do anything maliciously. She's always trying to, you know, do it because she thinks it will make people happy. And
right,
you know, I mean, admittedly she doesn't always go the right way when she did the drugging in the first season at her hot mitzvah. I feel like it was the hot mitzvah where she drugged everyone.
Yes.
You know, maybe her choices are not always the best.
Maybe her instincts, right, may not be always.
Yeah, but she means well.
Yeah, her heart's in the right place, and we have to give her credit for that. But I wanted to talk to you about how Liza reacts here. So it does sort of devolve into this very public kind of spat. Liza, I feel, is, I don't know, she takes a forceful tone with Charles that I don't think I've seen much of. When she says, oh, you know, if we're not getting married, well, it's your way or the highway then.
I felt that was a bit unfair. That's their private business. I think there was a way you could have got out of it without sort of airing the reason as to why they're no longer together, or as to why the proposal, the engagement isn't happening. Airing their disagreement in public was not fair to Charles. I mean, he is the boss of everyone there. It's not really appropriate that they know that much detail about his private life.
To me, it was a signal, maybe subconsciously, that she may not fight for him.
Yeah, I felt like she was punishing him, it felt like. Is it easy to come back from that now? Because once you sort of start publicly saying hurtful things, it's hard to forgive that sometimes.
Right, it's hard to walk some of that stuff back.
I'm not feeling confident in their reconciliation right at this moment.
Yeah, and I feel like it just gets worse, right? So throughout this episode, so the book pitch that they have is for this young climate change activist and a very blatant, I don't know, I use the word, I think the word is homage. I don't know if it's homage, but it's definitely a likeness to Greta Thunberg. I think she's 18 now. She's an 18-year-old climate change activist, and she's very well known for her efforts in bringing about change to save the planet. And this Fufa Grinhoff is definitely
I'm not even attempting that pronunciation, so he's doing well.
Yeah, just give me the poetic license here. Is definitely this hard-headed extreme climate change supporter. You know, Kelsey and Liza wanted to get her to do a book, but she has this statement at the end. She says, you know, that she gets a lot of advice from adults, and you know, oftentimes it's the advice that the adult themselves need. And she says to Liza that she needs to bend a bit and not stick to her principles so much.
I felt like it was quite sage advice because it is what Liza was trying to tell Fupa. So Liza sort of did give that advice to her first, and then she'd go like, maybe you need to also take that advice. And I think in this situation, it was good for maybe Liza to think that she's also doing what she accused Charles of. It's her way or the highway. Well, maybe not the highway, but she definitely wants it her way.
There's this moment then that the two of them have at this sea lit party.
Just this is almost as good as I had a forum at work that they started to give an acronym that was BOOB.
No.
Yes, that was quickly changed.
I can only imagine.
I feel like someone missed something here. Maybe in that situation, it was a person that was not English as their first language. So,
or maybe someone very close to retirement age, I would say.
Maybe having a bit of fun. Yes.
Maybe having a bit of fun. Or I was just going to say, like, not knowledgeable of that as a term, I suppose. Maybe. You know, so her and Charles have this moment. We touched on it in the previous episode where he's definitely speaking his mind a lot more. And we said, you know, we wonder if this is going to be something that he does to give him a bit of depth and dimension. Well, I think we got our answer.
Yeah.
What he says to her, I'm sorry, I took notes, that, you know, she's asking for a compromise on marriage. And actually, when you listen to this episode, the very intro to this episode is the actual conversation between Charles and Liza, where she's asking to compromise on marriage. And, you know, she said, you know, she might, you know, bend a little bit in the future. And he lays out for her in a very respectful, very Charles way to deliver it. But nobody should have to compromise with somebody like him. Based on what he just presents here, he put basically his custody on hold. Like he bent for custody because Pauline was so upset about Liza's lie. He walked away from his company, and he prefaced it by saying, "You didn't ask me to do this, but I did this for you so that we could be together." And he says, "If I bend anymore, I'm going to break."
That was kind of heartbreaking. And you could also see just he was at the side of the party. He wasn't engaging with people. He clearly didn't want to be there. And then the girls even let slip that he only came because they wanted to go, that he didn't want to be there at all. I kind of started to have my heart break a bit for Charles. He's right. He has done a lot. And in comparison, Liza said she would give up Josh, and yet she hasn't. And I can understand why she hasn't.
And she won't.
She won't. And you do sort of think, oh yeah, maybe she hasn't really bent at all to be with Charles in many ways, but he has done big things that have impacted his life. Yeah, he has definitely bent a lot.
That was a very heartbreaking moment. And, you know, he's still respectful. He goes like, there's no villains here. We just move on with respect. There was a moment where Liza was saying to Kelsey, like, I'm an editor and I don't see this as an ending. That felt like an ending.
Definitely. And when she like hugged the girls, that to me, like at that moment, I was like, that's her goodbye. Like she knows this is probably over now. And she loves those girls. It's clear, like, she's heartbroken that she's not going to see them grow up as well. But I felt quite emotional at the end of this episode, I have to say. Yeah, it was big.
How this episode ended did feel like an editor's ending to a story. But I'm going to go back now to the beginning of the episode and the other heartbreak of Kelsey. It's revealed in this very awkward staff meeting. Charles and Liza are not, you know, where they thought they should be. And, you know, Liza, I keep coming back. This is a love story between Kelsey and Liza, for sure, as well as much as anyone else. Liza didn't want to tell Kelsey because she didn't want to burden her with her own heartbreak that Kelsey was dealing with and didn't want to, like, add this to that plate, which I just find to be just such a selfless thing that, you know, you can do for a friend. It's just like, you know what, you're hurting and I'll deal with mine until, you know, you're in a better place. I love that Kelsey's like, you know, you can get over this by throwing yourself into, you know, what helps me when my life is blowing up. And Liza's like, I don't want a day drink. And she's like, no, work.
Yeah. I love that she thought it was day drinking though.
I would go there too. I mean, you know, that would be a logical place to go. Like, that's how I deal with a lot of stuff in my own life. Day drink. Sure. Why not?
Yeah. And with your best mate. Why wouldn't you?
Why not? Like, that's therapy.
And maybe they needed to have like a little session down at the crisis sing-along place. That could have been like a good way to get over it, I reckon.
The piano bar. Yes. That would have been fantastic.
Yes. But I guess, you know, work... I guess kind of doesn't seem quite as exciting, but they definitely do throw themselves into work in this episode. I mean,
forcefully.
Would you be like putting your hands in all those worms just to get a book?
My face was mirroring Liza when she had to like touch like the worms, and like when the worm ended up in her hair and Kelsey's telling her later they're walking. That's my reaction. Like, I'd be like, get it off me.
Oh, I don't like touching worms. I don't think all worms bite, but I've had been bitten by a worm before. I think it's maybe like a blood worm or something. They like for fishing bait. I remember fishing with Dad once and I got bitten by this worm and I'm like, I've not liked worms since then.
I lived in your beautiful country for 2 years. Worms were 100% the least. If they were on the list, they were at the bottom of the list of things that I was concerned with.
There are a lot of things that may potentially kill you in this country, but you know, I have survived 42 years.
yes, you have. I mean, you did move to the UK for all those years as well.
I must admit, I did love that in the UK, I didn't have spiders all over the place and things that wanted to kill me. That was a nice relief. And also the lack of flies. There were some flies, but not the, you understand the volume of flies that we have here.
Yeah, I went to the middle. I went to the desert. You know, I went to Ayers Rock and the flies. I had to buy a fly net because there were so many things I wanted to fly into my mouth and just poison me.
Just the insects, bugs and all that, there was a lot less of that in the UK. It was a nice respite, I have to say. But
yeah, but worms, yes, would not be on the list. They were not covered in the flora fauna class that I had to take in order to learn all of the things that were trying to kill me in your beautiful country.
They don't try to kill you, it just bit me. Like, I just was unlucky, really.
Yeah, but you know, like I had to learn how to run away from a crocodile, okay?
I've never had to learn that, mainly because I've never been to those parts of the country.
Well, apparently somebody necessitated this as a part of the curriculum when they bring the international students in and they teach them a little bit. Yes.
I feel like people get freaked out.
No. I wasn't kidding about that.
Did they at least teach you how to like deal with snake bites? I feel that was much more likely than a crocodile.
Yes. Okay. So there was a spider component. The recommendation was to flip up your toilet seat. And I did that for about 10 years after I lived in Australia. I was like, you know what? This is just a good life skill to have because you never know. And sure enough, one time a spider crawled out. I mean, it was a daddy long legs, but you know, what else?
Not so bad.
I'm sorry. Yes. That was a big tangent. I'm sorry, people.
Sorry. I live in a crazy country.
No, it's a beautiful country, but you just have to be respectful of the things that know how to protect themselves.
I don't want to scare people. You don't often see wildlife that will kill you.
No, you don't. And like I said, I lived there for 2 years. I only saw one redback spider.
That's pretty good.
Yes, and it was in Ayers Rock. It was by Uluru. So I had to travel very far to find one. Huntsman spider nearly killed me in my room once, but that's another
Huntsmans
story.
Do not kill. Can I just say that?
It was the size of my hand.
It is huge. It is huge. It is ugly. It is disgusting. And I am completely arachnophobic. I do not like spiders. I do not like huntsmen. But they don't kill you. Some people like them in the house, but because my mum used to keep them around the house because they would like get rid of other bugs and things. But as long as I knew where it was and could avoid it, it was okay. But sometimes they would just surprise you.
I killed mine with a can of Rexona. So
I completely agree with killing them. I'm not going to be relocating them out. Burn the house down. I need to leave.
The lengths that they went to for this book, for this climate change activist, might have been a direct correlation to the emotional state that both Kelsey and Liza were in at this state. What do you think?
Definitely. I mean, I think they just needed something to distract them from what was happening in their personal lives. They just went to such extreme lengths, like carrying the garbage, doing the worms, even like chasing her to the pier when she's getting on the boat to go to Davos and all that sort of thing. Like, they've gone to some extremes in the past, but I felt like this was much more than they've done in the past.
You know, it was like sifting through the garbage, and like when Kelsey's like, I can feel myself becoming vegan. There was a lot of, there were a lot of good lines in this episode, really.
There were.
The lengths that they went to for this book was a direct reflection of kind of like where they were at. They just needed to, you know, have this in order to keep their minds occupied. You know, even with what happened in the interview where Fupa goes ballistic on
Arabian Sea
with the Arabian Sea author because he's like poo-pooing climate change, and they end up trending on Twitter, and Lauren's like, I can work with this. Even that was just like so over the top, but it was just such what they needed as a distraction, even though, like, you know, millennials didn't come out looking so good in that. I feel like any press in this day and age is good press, because like if you're trending, people are going to know it's
but
you.
But you know what? There are climate deniers out there. They would go and buy that book after she said don't buy it, just to be the contrary person. I don't feel like this is really going to like
sway hearts and minds.
Exactly. You know, you might get some people not buying it because of it, but I think there will be other people that will buy it because of what she said.
Because of what he said, like, oh, please, that's, you know. I did find it funny. I'm just going to make a little comment about Fupa's bracelet, that it was given to her by Al Gore and blessed by Baby Yoda's puppeteer. Like, I want that bracelet.
I know, but then she says it was all like a test in the end, and I was devastated. I mean, I wanted that bracelet to be real.
Yeah, like blessed by Baby Yoda's puppeteer.
What more do you want in life?
That also shows that she is still like 16. You know, that's the reality check for the situation. It's just like, you know, she's giving this very sagely advice to Liza about, like, you know, maybe you should bend and not be so stuck in your principles. Who doesn't love a good, you know, dirty joke, right? Even if it really is dirt.
Yes. Also shows that sometimes well, she's Austrian, but Austrians and Germans can sometimes have an unusual sense of humor.
Yes. I just found it was just a very funny and a very in-depth kind of a way for them to distract themselves from their personal life. So, and I just liked how she was central to how this whole thing with Charles played out. Like, so Liza's like took the message to heart, you know, saying like, I'm going to compromise, you know, I'm not saying no to marriage, I'm just saying no right now. But she didn't really think it through to understand how much he'd, you know, really compromised for her.
I've got to say though, like, I don't think I could be as mature as Charles. I don't think I could say it was blameless, you know. And I think to a degree that's what Liza was doing with Maggie earlier in the episode. She wants someone to blame, but I guess in this case there isn't anyone to blame. It's just they want different things.
I'm too much of a type A personality to be as calm, cool, and collected as Charles is.
I'm not type A, but I'm definitely just an emotional person. I sometimes need that emotional release to get past it. So if I don't get that, I need to force it.
Yeah, you need that outburst. You need that outlet, whatever it is. I'm a lot of the same way. It comes out as like angry tears. I'm like, I'm not crying because of the situation. I'm crying because like it just has to come out.
Oh, I'm like that sometimes so much.
And it happened a couple of times to me at work, believe it or not. And it was like some high stress situations, and it's many years ago now. Just don't mistake this for weakness. It just has to come out.
I've done that before.
If it doesn't come out here, it's going to come out because I'm going to hit somebody.
Yes. Do you want like abuse or do you just want tears? The tears are probably better in that situation.
Tears are probably better, right.
My body reacts the same and I have no control over it. It just happens.
Yes, it's like, no. Why am I doing this? This is not me.
I'm the same. And I'll be like, literally, like you said, I'll be in tears and be just like, please ignore it. It just is what it is. Just ignore me.
And it'll be over soon and exactly. We'll never speak of it again.
Exactly. Well, I think that covers most of the episodes, but should we finish with a Maggie-ism?
Yes, our meditations with Maggie. So we're doing this at the end of every episode that Maggie appears in, because now with Diana and Zane's news, I'm not trustful that everybody's going to be in every single episode. So we're going to end the episode with a little bit of sagely, pithy advice from Maggie. This is actually the line from very early on in the episode where Maggie assures Liza that this is just Charles's hurt pride and, you know, things will continue. And she refuses to be goaded into bad-mouthing him because of the dynamic that, you know, if they get back together. Maggie does not want to be like the one who did this. So we'll play this moment of sagely advice from her here.
No. You want me to trash him, and then the two of yous are going to get back together, and I'll be as welcome as that short hair in a bar of soap. No. He's great. You're great. This is going to blow over.
And Maggie has such a way with words, Emma.
She totally does.
As welcome as the hair on a bar of soap. That's quite an image.
I just love that description. I wish I could speak the way Maggie does, because she just has a way with her. Yeah, you're right. She just has a way with her words. I wish I could speak like that, but I just not that quick.
But she also went full New York there. Like, yous are not going to, like, you know, bait me into this. She goes with the yous. So Debbie Mazar is actually from Queens.
Ah.
Very kindred spirit.
And, you know, I've got the soft spot for Queens, obviously, because, you know, staying there with you was a lot of fun.
Everyone loves Queens. You have to love Queens.
I mean, it's Queens. It's where you get queens from for Africa. That's what coming to America was all about.
Absolutely. All good things come from Queens.
I think that covers the episode well. Yeah, I feel like this was like an ending episode. So I'm excited to see. I'm not really quite sure where they're going to go in the next episode.
You know, last episode we were like upset that Quinn was back in the picture, and I had that morbid prediction that she might be a bit of a distraction for Charles, so I hope not. But we didn't get Josh at all this episode, so I feel like there's going to be some sort of a run-in with Josh, and there'll be something complicated.
It'll be odd for him not to be in the next episode. I think we need to find out what's happening with him now.
And if Claire absconded with their daughter to Ireland.
Oh my God, I think he would just be devastated if that happened.
I told you, like, when we did the season 6 recap, I'm like, I watched Bridgerton and I didn't like her at first because, like, oh, it's Claire.
Did you at least come around by the end of Bridgerton? I mean, they were very different characters.
Yes, I did. Well, it was the initial like, oh wait, that's you. I got past it. I'm working through them. I'm trying to, you know, make sure that I don't have any more angry tears as a result.
That's good. At least you're working through it. That's, you know, always good to work on yourself.
I have nothing else to do except, you know, be home and try to work on myself because I don't have any other human interaction. So I better become a better human.
I'm lucky that we're allowed out now. So life's almost back to normal here in Australia, I have to say. We just can't leave the country.
I would be okay if I could, like, go out and, you know, gather with people. I'm half vaccinated. So, like, I'm like, there's, you know, some silver lining. But you guys aren't walking around with masks on and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, we don't have to wear masks anymore. We actually have no cases in Melbourne where I am at the moment. It's starting to feel a bit like life is normal, although we have to check in everywhere just in case, and just in case it gets back out into the community. But yeah, we kind of cut borders with everyone. Only allow a small number of people to come back into the country. So I don't know that it's necessarily always been the best choices, because there's a lot of Australians overseas that still want to get back in and are struggling.
Oh, and like basically stranded. Oh,
yeah,
God.
Yeah. There's a few people stranded and have been trying to get back for months.
But see, like the alternative wouldn't be so bad. Like if you were stranded in Australia during lockdown, quarantine, pandemic times, like that'd be a fun place to be locked down. The weather's good. The food is good.
That's true. The weather is good.
But the goddamn spiders.
Well, okay. I've got some daddy long legs in the bathroom. But other than that, I've not seen a spider for a while. So it's not that bad, people. Come to Australia when you can.
When you can, when it's safe.
Yes, when the borders reopen, come visit. It's amazing.
I'm telling everybody, like, when this is all over, there's no no's. Like, I'm going to go do all the things with all the people all over the world that I need to see.
I'll totally be there.
So that is it for us here. This is the Hell or Good podcast for younger from Pod Clubhouse. I want to thank you all for listening. And if you could head on over to where you got this podcast from to rate, review, and subscribe, it helps other people find the show so they can get as much enjoyment out of this as you do. And also, if you subscribe, anytime we drop an episode, you will get a little notification so that you can join us for some younger fun. This is Sheila.
And this is Emma.
And thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.